crossroads of empires, battleground of the ages, city of peace and of war. This is Jerusalem, where archaeology uncovers the empires of yesterday, where prophecy decodes the headlines of today. This is where history and prophecy come alive. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Hello and welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall. We're coming to you today, as per usual, from Jerusalem, Israel. At the start of the year, you might recall, if you were with us back then, that we wrote an article on the website entitled 2017, All Eyes on Jerusalem. All Eyes on Jerusalem. And here we are at the end of the year, at the end of 2017, and this has certainly been the case. The world's attention, for better or worse, has been on this city. Now, most recently, that's because of the decision that's been heard around the world, that of the United States President Donald Trump's statement of the absolute obvious that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Now, while Israelis, Jews, and many Palestinians actually have applauded this decision, a lot of Israeli Arabs have applauded this decision, the rest of the world, it seems, condemned it. The rest of the West condemned it. Allies of the Israel condemned it. And the Muslim nations, obviously, in general, rioted over this decision, all because of this innocuous statement of fact. Now, initially, the Muslim response to this has been largely muted, and it might stay that way for a little while longer. Nevertheless, the attention that Israel has, and particularly Jerusalem has around the world, will not be going away. What we're seeing right now with the increased international attention on this city is the new normal. It is the new normal. Now, Jerusalem is once again becoming the focus of the world's attention. It's been this way in the past, obviously. It's been this way, of course, especially during the First and Second Intifadas. The world's attention was here. Journalists from around the world really did send, news organizations sent all their journalists to Jerusalem to report on what was happening here. And it's kind of returning to that way again right now. And if you look back through history, Jerusalem obviously has received a lot of attention from the world, from world powers. Never has a city been fought over more than this city of Jerusalem. Never has a city been discussed more than this city of Jerusalem. World ruling empires have always fought over Jerusalem, whether it's the Babylonian Empire that took the Jews captive back in the 6th century BC, whether it's the Roman Empire that fought the Jews back in 70 CE or took Jerusalem finally in 70 CE, or whether it was the Holy Roman Empire that's gone after Jerusalem through the period of the Crusades, this city has been a focus like none other. Now, on today's program, I want to pose the question, or ask the question, are we returning to an era where nations once again fight over Jerusalem? Fighting over Jerusalem. It's easy to think about that and whether it could happen right now just because the Israeli state is so strong. But Jerusalem has been conquered many times. It has been taken over by foreign armies many times. It has been taken during times when the nation that was occupying this territory of land was strong. It has happened before in history. Will it happen again? Could it happen again? Now, Bible prophecy indicates that there will be a fight over Jerusalem in the times we are living in right now. And more than just that, the Bible indicates who the players are going to be. Who are the ones that are going to be fighting over Jerusalem? Now, there's lots of commentary out there, especially in biblical prophecy, about Jerusalem, about end time events surrounding this city. There's lots of different theories, different ideas, but we're going to go and see what the Bible actually says about it today on today's program. And we're going to look at the nations that are so involved right now in Jerusalem, whether they are the ones that are going to stay that way being involved in Jerusalem, or whether others are going to placate them or take their place in the future. Now, our editor-in-chief, Mr. Gerald Flory, recently wrote on our website that no city stirs passions like Jerusalem. And indeed, that's what this decision from Mr. Trump has done. It has stirred passions the world over. But whose passions in particular? Now, Mr. Trump basically said that the state of Israel has Jerusalem as its capital. And because he said that, many nations are up in arms about it. And we're going to look at a few of those nations that are so upset about that discussion. Because it's those very same nations, the ones that are extremely upset right now, are the ones that the Bible indicates are going to get so stirred up about Jerusalem that they will want to claim it for themselves. Claim it for themselves. Now, looking at it right now, a logical observer can see that the United States is the dominant power outside of Israel, obviously, the dominant outside power involved in Jerusalem. But the Bible does indicate that that is going to change shortly. It is going to change shortly. And there are other nations, it seems, standing in line to take over the job, the traditional job of the United States as mediator between the Palestinians and the Jews. And it might be upsetting in some ways to, if you are an Israeli here in Jerusalem or anywhere in this state, to hear that somebody has to always be so involved. Some outside power is always trying to negotiate terms, in many cases, to their own benefit. And the United States has been probably the most unbiased power, while the world is up in arms right now about that, saying that that's not true, that Mr. Trump is an unbiased negotiator, that the United States can no longer be the mediator for Middle East peace because it is biased. Looking at the past 40 years, you'd have to say that it looks as though the United States has probably done the best job possible by an outside power to try and be fair and balanced in this. And yet that hasn't gotten that far. And so Mr. Trump is changing tact, coming out stating the obvious. Obviously, Israel is not going to give up Jerusalem, or at least West Jerusalem, in some type of peace negotiation. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And even the United States, I think the White House came out with a statement just this week saying that basically that, like, in terms of any future peace deal, the Israelis are never going to give up access to the Western Wall. That's just not going to happen. And that was just the latest thing that stirred up the international community, stirred up the Palestinians, because the Europeans, the Palestinians, they're set on these phony borders from 1967 that weren't really borders, saying that that's where it's got to be. That's where the line should be. That's the basis for our peace process. And of course, that would leave the Western Wall in control of the Palestinians in their future state. But we know that's not going to happen. And the United States right now is just stating fact. And yet, stating fact in this world gets you in trouble, it seems, especially on such a touchy subject as Jerusalem. Now, I've been amazed living here for on and off for just over a decade now. Just the attention that this city gets. You live here, you work here, you walk around, talk to people. It just seems like a very normal city in every single respect in many ways. But it's not a normal city. It's not a normal city. And Israelis may wonder why it's so. Why is everybody so concerned about Jerusalem? And the Bible has a lot to say about that, and we're going to talk about that today. But getting back to who was so upset about this decision from Mr. Trump, because it does reveal again who these outside powers are that really want to take the mantle from the United States in Middle East negotiation. And we have an article featured right now on Watch Jerusalem. It's entitled, "Europe, or Is Europe Ready to Take Over from the United States as Peace Mediator?" Is that what Europe wants? Do they want to take over from the United States as peace mediator? Now, they say for the moment that they're ready and willing to just stay behind the United States to see what happens, to work towards peace. But really, they are waiting in the wings and really chomping at the bit to get involved and become the dominant outside player in this peace process. And the Bible indicates that they will become that. The Bible says based on numerous prophecies that we'll get to, that the European Union, led by Germany, is going to become involved in the peace process. The United States is going to vacate that position. And that's why when we're talking about this event, we watch the European response at Watch Jerusalem. We take note of it. We see if there's changes there in some of their rhetoric. And certainly this event has exposed Europe's desire to be, as it sees itself, as the fair negotiator, as the fair mediator. I'm just going to quote from this article now. It's written by Richard Palmer. He's he works for us in Britain. We also have Josue Michels. He's a native German that does read the German media to see exactly what they're saying. And this article written by both of them has numerous very interesting quotes here. The first comes from European Union Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini. She says this on December 7th, the European Union will engage even more with the parties and with our regional and international partners. She said that Trump's announcement could diminish the potential role of the US and that the EU is now determined to play an even more convinced and active role in trying to relaunch the peace process. That was the foreign minister for the EU saying that we're ready to play a more determined role. The French foreign minister, he had a similar statement saying, quote, "We've been waiting already for several months for the American initiative, and if one is not forthcoming, then the European Union will have to take the initiative." So that's the French. If they're not going to do it, the US won't do it. We're going to take initiative here. And it seems, as we bring out in this article, that the German media is also on board. Spiegel Online, one of their most popular magazines, online magazines, they published an editorial on December 8th entitled This, Time for Europe to Take the Lead on Peace. Now, this is important because we have been saying this for half century and really for the past 20 years, really increasing our publishing of this fact that Europe is going to take the lead on peace. And this is what the Germans are pushing for right now. Now, reading from this article, it basically says that Mr. Trump's decision disqualifies the United States as the mediator. It says, quote, "It is now up to us, the Europeans, the Germans, to come up with new ideas, new formats, as difficult as that may be." That's interesting that Spiegel would go to write an editorial on this and say, obviously the Americans don't know what they're doing anymore under Mr. Trump. It's time for us to come up with the ideas for peace, peace in Israel, peace to do with Jews and Palestinians, that Germany, so soon after the Second World War, would feel like it is the nation that should fulfill this responsibility is striking. And yet that's what they're saying. That was Spiegel. And Süddeutsche Zeitung said this. They commented that Trump's Jerusalem decision forces Europeans out of cover and impels them to take on a greater role in the Middle East. Then it said, but because of geographic proximity, the historical, political, and economic connection, the EU sees itself in a responsibility that it could hardly ever live up to in the past. During the peace process, it played a role, but often not more than that of a junior partner of the United States. But now, Europe is forced out of cover. It wants a bigger role in the Middle East. It wants a bigger role in forging Israeli and Palestinian peace. And that should ring, if you've been listening to us for any length of time, fulfillment of biblical prophecy, because that's exactly what the Bible says is actually going to happen. Now, you can read about this in our booklet, Jerusalem and Prophecy, but just to give you a bit of the background here to this prophecy, it's found over in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 13. It says there that when Judah, that is the nation of Israel today, obviously the nation of Israel today doesn't have all the tribes, the 12 or 13 tribes of Israel, Only the Jews came back, and the Jewish nation that went into captivity underneath the Babylonians contained mainly the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. They are the ones that returned back under Zerubbabel and then back under Ezra and Nehemiah. They're the ones that came back. And they are the Jewish nation. The 10 northern tribes lost their identity because they lost their religion. And then who came back to the area of Canaan or the promised land or Israel, if you like, or Palestine, whatever you want to call it? Who came back to the land? Well, it was the Jews. It was the Jews. They called their state Israel. Nevertheless, they're still Judah in biblical prophecy. And this prophecy in Hosea says this: when Judah saw his wound, and then it talks about Ephraim for a while, it says that they went to Assyria, and sent to King Jareb. Now, what is this talking about? This wound, as we've written for the past 20 years, relates entirely to the peace process between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Has there been a greater wound in the Israeli state for the past 25 years? Has there? What debilitates it more? Obviously, it's the peace process with the Palestinians. Look at how the world treats Israel because of this ongoing peace process, because of what they feel Israel should give up for the peace process. This is a wound, for sure. Now, what are they going to do about this wound? Well, from that prophecy, it says that they go to the Assyrian. They go to the Assyrian. Now, we have an article written on Watch Jerusalem entitled "The Remarkable Identity of the German People." The German people, as you'll read in that article, make up the modern nation of ancient Assyria. The Germans today are Assyria in the Bible. And this is how you can make sense of biblical prophecy, is by knowing the identity, the modern identity of these ancient nations and peoples. And when the Bible here talks about in Hosea, Judah going for help because of its wound to Assyria, that means that Assyria is going to get involved, or modern-day Germany, in the peace process. And here we have Spiegel, the number one news magazine in Germany, writing an editorial saying, which basically says, this isn't the opinion of just one writer. This isn't an op-ed. This is the opinion of our journal, of Spiegel Online, of our editorial staff, and we believe that it's time for fresh ideas, and we believe that Europe, that Germany in particular, should now play the role of mediator in Middle East peace. And that's why we're reporting on this, because your Bible says that is going to happen, that Germany is going to take that role. As strange as that might sound, again, that Germany would be the one that fulfills this, that is what your Bible says. Now, what's also interesting in this prophecy is that it is Israel eventually that's going to go to Germany as well for help. Now, right now, you could see the Palestinians going to Europe for help, no doubt. No doubt, because Europe has always been biased towards the Palestinians. That's extremely obvious. It's even obvious by Federica Mogherini's statements, and she is the EU foreign minister. Her first goal back in November 2014, she said, when she began at her post in the EU, she said that she would like to see a Palestinian state by the end of her term. That was her goal. And her first visit as the EU foreign minister was to Israel, Palestine, as she calls it. And she just said that we expect a two-state solution, with Jerusalem being the capital of both the Palestinian state and the Israeli state. That's what she said. And so no doubt the Palestinians would reach out to Europe, because they would see Europe as a more fair peace broker. But this prophecy indicates that eventually it's going to be Israel that reaches out to them as well. Now, we don't know exactly how that's going to come about, but that's what we're watching for here at Watch Jerusalem. So that's one of the players. That's one of the players that the Bible says in these latter times is going to be involved in Jerusalem. Germany, the EU, Europe is going to take a central role. There is also another nation whose passions stir for Jerusalem. And we can see that from this latest comment of Mr. Trump. It has inflamed them as well. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will discuss that other nation, the other player here in Jerusalem's future in end time prophecy. Don't go away.
This is Watch Jerusalem on kpcg.fm. Thank you for listening. They call it the City of Peace. But it is filled with violence. Yesterday, bloody crusades and sieges. Today, terrorism, rocket attacks, and stabbings. Intense international pressure, but no diplomatic solutions. This is Jerusalem. No city has suffered like it. Will there ever be peace? God says yes. There will be peace in Jerusalem, and not just for the Jews. It will be a peace that spreads to all people. How will God bring peace to Jerusalem? Request your free copy of Jerusalem in Prophecy to find out. The answer comes straight from your Bible. Peace is coming soon. Act today. Please visit thetrumpet.com. This is Watch Jerusalem on kpcg.fm.
Welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. We're talking about on today's program just the passions that stir for Jerusalem, for people that don't even live here, people all the way around the world in different nations that feel like Jerusalem, even though they're not here, they feel like they have a justified opinion on it, and they feel like in some ways they are the ones that need to be involved in the city, that they should be the ones controlling the city. Now, we've talked about the European Union desiring a stronger place at the negotiating table to negotiate some type of peace deal for the Palestinians and the Israelis. And really, there is, if you look into the Bible, more sinister desires than just peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. They want Jerusalem as well. The Europeans do. They want control there. But there's also another nation that is extremely outspoken about Jerusalem, that wants to control Jerusalem, that doesn't just want to destroy the Jews, but actually wants to take over Jerusalem. It doesn't care about the Palestinians. It doesn't care about the Palestinian statehood or a national struggle of the Palestinians to get themselves a state. It wants to control Jerusalem. And it's going to use the Palestinians as a way to do that. And we're seeing this nation become more and more vocally supportive of different Palestinian groups to accomplish this task. And not just vocally supportive, but actually financially supportive as well. And of course, ideologically supportive. Now, I'm talking, of course, none other than the nation of Iran, the regime in Iran that wants to empower its proxies, its terrorist groups, whether it be Hamas or Hezbollah in Lebanon, whether it be its proxies that are now, right now, in Syria, on the Syrian side of the Golan Heights, which we've reported on this program, Iran does have a goal to take over Jerusalem. Again, it's not just for getting rid of the Jews. They want that territory, and they don't want anyone else to have it. They don't. And so what have we seen here over the past couple of weeks from Iran? What have they been saying about this situation, about Mr. Trump's call of Jerusalem as being the capital of Israel? Now, it's interesting. Of course, there were some initial comments from the Iranian regime that this proves the United States isn't an honest broker for peace. It proves that, it shows that their need, they called to arms basically different the Muslim states, Muslim nations, to try and use this to mobilize them to actually fight to increase their pressure on Israel, to not do deals with Israel like we see the Saudis and different Gulf states doing right now. They want to use this opportunity of Mr. Trump's to try and garner support for their own advantage. They are trying to lead, as they have always done, the Muslim world, political Islam. They want to be the leader of that. Shiite, Sunni, doesn't matter. They want to lead that. And they see this decision as Mr. Trump as an actual opportunity. They see it as an opportunity. And I want to talk about that a little bit right now. This is what the Iran Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, an analyst that writes for one of their popular magazines back in Iran, he said this. This is Saadollah Zahiri. He said that Trump's decision has its advantages. He said, quote, this situation in reality under these conditions makes Iran's work in forming a resistance front with a focus on defending Palestine easier. So while they will be rhetorically upset about this, the Iranians are actually happy that the United States would make such decisions, because it's going to, they can clearly say to the rest of the Islamic world, see, I told you so. I told you so. This is what's going to happen. If we don't rise up and do something about it, Israel is going to be taking over all of this land. Al-Quds is going to belong completely to Israel. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is going to be, as they say, the Jewish filthy feet are going to be all over the Al-Aqsa Mosque if we don't do something. So this situation, they believe, is actually aiding increasing their supporters. Now, there was a conference back on December 11th, just last week, and this at this conference, this was in Tehran, Defense Minister Brigadier General Amir Hatami, he said this, that Mr. Trump's decision is going to hasten the destruction of Israel and will double unity among Muslims. And then he pledged full support towards the militant Palestinians, saying, quote, the occupying regime of Israel knows the illegitimate actions of the United States government will bring no change to Al-Quds, as the people, Palestinian people and the freedom-loving people of the world will become more determined than ever to become united and stand up for the liberation of Jerusalem and the land of Palestine. This is going to unite us, this decision from Mr. Trump. That same day that statement went out, Major General Qassam Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Quds Force, he actually telephoned Palestinian leaders, Haniyeh, and the leader of Hamas, and pledged Iran's complete support for the Palestinian Islamic resistance movements. Then Bloomberg News basically paraphrased that phone call, and they quoted Soleimani as saying that, quote, other forces in the region are ready to defend the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting because of how they're trying to frame this as a religious matter. They're saying that we're ready. We're ready to come and support you. They invoked Al-Aqsa and religion because they're working to gain maximum traction for their, in order to embolden their leadership. They want to prove to the world, to the Islamic world, that only Iran can ensure that Al-Aqsa is protected, that Al-Aqsa is safe. And they are going to increase their support, whether it's through funding Hamas more, sending weaponry as they could get it to Hamas, whether it's mobilizing Hezbollah, or again, their Shiite militias inside Syria right now. They want to mobilize those groups to take Jerusalem because, as they see it, this is a religious war. They want to defend Al-Aqsa. And what's also interesting about this period we're in right now in Jerusalem, the response so far from the Palestinians has been surprisingly muted. It has been, although we can see so much reporting, definitely in the United States, in Europe. I just read an article from the BBC. It was atrocious. claiming that all the Palestinians are up in arms about this, when they're not. When they're not, because they don't see it generally as a religious matter. They still had access to the Temple Mount. They could still go into Al-Aqsa the last two Friday mornings. And so they see that, well, Israel isn't changing the status quo here. Of course, Jerusalem's the capital of Israel. It's always been that way. I live in Jerusalem. It's always been that way. And many of Jerusalem's Arabs would actually want Israel to be in control of them or over their state just because they see what takes place in the other Arab states in the region, and they don't want that. And yet, the reason that this is the case, that there hasn't been a massive uprising, is because there wasn't a religious element to the rhetoric. If Israel did shut down the Temple Mount, it's likely there would have been riots. Because now it's a religious war. That Israel, claiming Jerusalem is its capital, they're also trying to change what's happening on the Temple Mount. And so that's what's going to mobilize the Palestinian street to fight, to war, to riot. That's what will motivate them to rage. And here we have Iran, who has done this from the very beginning, superbly, if we could put it that way. They have always talked about the Palestinian struggle not just being for a people or for a homeland. And that's where the Europeans make their mistake. They're always claiming that if only there were two states for two people, there would be peace. No, that's not true. Palestinians don't riot in the streets for a Palestinian state. Palestinians riot in the streets for religious reasons. They want to ensure they have access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They want to ensure, of course, they would rather Israel not be here. I'm not saying that. But if you want to mobilize somebody to become a martyr, you better have a religious reason for it. And what we see here is Iran that is always talking about this struggle against Israel in terms of religion. It's always about defending Al-Aqsa. It's always about ensuring that Al-Aqsa is safe. And if the Israelis are perceived, or if the United States is perceived to be changing that status quo, then they'll riot. And that's why a couple of metal detectors at the Temple Mount, that caused a riot. That caused days and weeks of riots. And that's why Mr. Trump, saying that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, though it caused the rest of the world to riot, it didn't cause the Palestinians to riot en masse. Because they saw that it wasn't about the freedom of Al-Aqsa. It wasn't about Israel changing the status quo. And yet you see smart Palestinian leaders and Muslim leaders from around the world, such in Tehran, that are trying to change the narrative right now. Saying that it is about Al-Aqsa. That this is just the first step by this American administration to try and ensure the future establishment of a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. And even there are people, even in America right now, evangelicals that are talking about this and how Mr. Trump is so excited, or they're so excited about Mr. Trump's decision because it makes the third temple, the construction of the third temple on the Temple Mount, much more of a possibility. And if the Palestinian leadership grabs a hold of those arguments or that rhetoric from the evangelical base in the United States, or if Iran does, trying to say, this is what they're saying, this is what the United States wants to do, this is the first step for them taking over the Temple Mount, now that'll get people to riot. That'll get people to come out in the streets. That'll get people to be martyred. That's what they get martyred over. And what we're seeing right now, it looks like there could be a change in the narrative that is coming, because there are Muslim leaders that understand that only if it is a religious matter will the Palestinians riot. Palestinians don't fight or die or bleed for the Palestinian state, but they will fight, die, and bleed for Al-Aqsa. And really, that's why we're watching for Iran's movements right now. We're watching Iran take command of that narrative to show the Palestinian people in any way that they can that they understand what's happening and that they are the champion of the religious cause. They are the champion of ensuring that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is liberated fully. And if they do that, they are going to gain the power of the Palestinian street. Now, we've been watching for Iran to get involved. This is really documented so well in the booklet, Jerusalem in Prophecy. You really should request that. We're having a number of requests from Israel this week for that booklet, and it's going to just really help these specific events that we've been seeing over the past couple of weeks take new life for you, because it shows how the players in end time biblical prophecy are lining up to be involved in Jerusalem in the future. Now, this specific, when looking at Iran's part in this, we have always been saying for the past 20 years that Iran is going to get involved in Jerusalem, that Iran, through its leadership, is going to mobilize an intifada against the Jews, and that intifada is actually going to be successful in the eastern half of Jerusalem. But what is going to be the match for that intifada? Of course, it's not going to be a Palestinian state. It's going to be about the Temple Mount. And so that's why we see Iran right now trying to frame the discussion along those lines. Now, you should really read this booklet, Jerusalem Prophecy. Please go to watchjerusalem.co.il. You can request it, a hard copy of that. We'll send it to you wherever you are in the world. You can read it straight away. You can read it right now if you like. There is a chapter in there, Jerusalem About to Explode. While it sounds, while that headline may sound bold for you, may sound wacky for you, especially if you live in Jerusalem, really read it and note how the prophecy is being fulfilled, and note that it was written 20 years ago. And yet we just see a glimmer into that, into how that prophecy could be fulfilled through the events of the past couple of weeks. That's all we have time for today. Well, thank you very much for listening to the program. If you'd like to send me some feedback, you can do that by writing to letters@watchjerusalem.co.il. I appreciate the feedback that has come in. Again, that's all we have time for. So thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Watch Jerusalem, where history and prophecy come alive.